Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I was almost surprised when Taylor's hand was raised at the end because you could feel Serrano coming on strong. Katie Taylor was a very much more of a clear winner.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. On the way, Manchester City's troubles continue as they squander a 3-goal lead in the Champions League. We catch up with the FAI CEO as Ireland looks set to qualify for Euro 2028 by default, and Bohemians add league-winning expertise to their squad for 2025.
But you've got a cut, and apparently some others. Yeah.
With my finger here, with my nail, I want to hurt myself.
Yeah. I hurt myself today.
The Etihad Stadium, no longer the impregnable fortress. The veneer of invincibility stripped away.
Focus on the pain.
And the great Champions League goal plunderer, Erling Haaland, may just have started to turn the tide for Manchester City. It's Mateus Nunes, and it's Haaland arriving. And step by step, goal by goal, normal City service is being resumed.
Yeah, we are not able to win games. As a team, always we found a way. Always we found a way in the last years, many years, we found a way to win the games. And right now, after 3-0, another situation, more, nothing happened.
Well, Hasmusa will seize on that. And Edison tried to get there and couldn't. And maybe this isn't quite as done and dusted as it had first appeared. In towards Timber, and it was Latomba coming round the back, and it's another one back for Feyenoord. And this is far from done for Manchester City.
What have I become?
We cannot close the games, and every time they arrive, they score.
And off goes Paixão. Edison headed it, didn't make contact, and a chance for 3-3 through David Hansko.
I saw your pain when the first goal was conceded. Did you sense it could potentially get away?
Yeah, because we lost a lot of games lately. We are fragile, and of course we need a victory, and the game was good for the confidence, for we're playing good level, and for the first time something happened, we have problems.
Just about Anfield, how will you try and lift them for this test?
I have to, we have to. My job.
First up today, Manchester City are now 6 games without a win, having collapsed in spectacular fashion last night in the Champions League. They look to be cruising for an hour. 2 goals from Erling Haaland helped them into a 3-0 lead at home to Feyenoord, but the Dutch side came away from the Etihad with a point, scoring 3 times in the last 15 minutes. City have now conceded 17 goals in their last 6 games and go to Liverpool in the Premier League on Sunday. Here's City boss Pep Guardiola.
Of course they feel it, so they want to win, desperate. That's why they play the way they play. So it's not easy. So, and they play really good and many aspects. So how many chances we concede? But again, 3 goals. We made 26 shots in against Tottenham, day 9, and we lost 0-4. So we were a team, always we concede few goals in these 8-9 years. We were so stable through the games, to control, to defend well, and now it's not going to happen. So the game was 4-3-0 even more. I don't remember the first half. Yeah, maybe one shoot, a deflection, not much. But yeah, we cannot close the games, and every time they arrive, they score. Yeah. Yeah, we are not able to win games. So. As a team, always we found a way. Always we found a way in the last years, many years, we found a way to win the games. In one way and the other way, it was always different. And right now, after 3-0, another situation, more. Nothing happened. This is it, nothing happened. So we could not score the 4, we could not score the 5th, but nothing happened. So I was in control, and now it doesn't happen.
Arsenal arrested their poor away form in Europe last night. They brought Sporting back down to earth with a bump, winning 5-1 in Lisbon. That was Arsenal's first Champions League win away from home in 6 matches. Their manager is Mikel Arteta.
It's true that the result is very different by the performance and as well the entity of the opponent that we faced when we played Inter. I was so pleased with what I saw, and I knew that in that pathway, good things were going to happen in Europe. Today, we've been able to do that and replicate it and be even more efficient in the position half. And very pleased because the team played with so much courage because they are so good. And watching them live, I realise how good they are.
Tom, yeah, times.
What did you make of Odegaard? He was excellent again, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Again, I think all the boys, you know, if not, you don't have the dominance performance and the scoreline that we have managed to get out of the game today. They were all exceptional today.
It's Inter who topped the Champions League 3 this morning with an own goal from Castello Lacerba, handing them a 1-0 win at home to RB Leipzig. The Italian champions are yet to concede a goal this season in the Champions League. Barcelona are a point behind Inter after a 3-0 win at home to Brest. Robert Lewandowski scored two of the goals for Barca and became the third player to score 100 Champions League goals. Atalanta remain unbeaten, having cruised to a 6-1 win away to Young Boys. Florian Wirtz scored twice for Bayer Leverkusen, who thrashed Pep Leinder Salzburg 5-0. All of them were outdone by Atletico Madrid, helped by Angel Correa's late double in a 6-0 win away to Sparta Prague. PSG's Ousmane Dembele was sent off in their 1-0 defeat away to Bayern Munich, and AC Milan held on for a 3-2 win away to Slovan Bratislava. The Slovaks also ended that game with 10 men. The action continues tonight with the pick of the ties at Anfield. Liverpool go up against holders Real Madrid. Liverpool have lost 7 of their last 8 against Real, including 2 finals. Aston Villa will look to bounce back from their first defeat in the competition when they play Juventus at Villa Park, and Celtic will look to make it back-to-back wins. They have Club Brugge at Parkhead. Those games I've mentioned all kick off at 8 o'clock. Ireland are likely to qualify for Euro 2028 by default, with confirmation last night that Northern Ireland will relinquish hosting privileges. The 4 remaining host nations will still have to partake in the regular qualifying process. However, 2 qualifying slots will be available for host teams that don't qualify by the standard means. Nathan tried to sum up the situation on last night's Off the Ball.
But now that Northern Ireland aren't going to be eligible, which is a huge blow for them, as well as the double impact of not having games, that means actually one of those teams is gone, and if 2 teams were to qualify, the other 2 would get in automatically. Now, what happens next hasn't been fully decided. All of the nations will go into qualifying as normal. So you could potentially have 3 opportunities to qualify for Euro 2028. It would be something spectacular to not get there from an Irish point of view. So there'll be the Nations League, which will the next incarnation of the Nations League, where we hope we'll still be in League B and win the playoff. You will go through those games and then you'll go back into that ladder system, and you might be guaranteed a playoff after the Nations League, as we have done previously. So guaranteed a playoff. Then you go into the qualifiers. You'll have an opportunity there. There's going to be 12 groups. You win your group, you qualify. You come second, you get into a playoff. So there's 2 opportunities to get into the playoff. And even if we don't get into a playoff or we lose the playoff, then you have this final opportunity. But there's still lots of bits and pieces to be worked out as to, would we go into those playoffs, or do they just decide then, well, actually, you're through and we'll open up the spots for somebody else. But it's an enormous boost for the FAI. We know that there's going to be at least 6 games in Dublin. That was the other confirmation today, which was all but known anyways, as many politicians were trying to throw out about Porky Cueve and Croke Park potentially hosting the extra games. UEFA have never had any indication that that would be possible, and that was confirmed by Dave Carell today, that no, they want the 9 venues to stay the 9 venues, and they're going to add those games elsewhere. The FAI are hoping maybe they might get 2. I think they're expecting to get 1. One of the issues is that, you know, it's not one of the biggest stadiums hosting games, so they're not going to get a semi-final added in or anything like that. They're hoping probably maybe another last 16 game or another group stage game. At the moment, it's 4 group stage games, 1 last 16 game, 1 quarter final. And he was pointing out there's logistical issues around the amount of space you have to have between games, because obviously there'll be a lot of countries coming and going and things like that, and there's not a lot of wiggle room in there, but you'd expect they'll get at least 1 more game. But it does mean with this news that potential of missing out through the Nations League is all but gone, and whoever the manager is more or less guaranteed to lead Ireland into a home tournament. This is as big as it will ever get for the Republic of Ireland, that a chance to qualify as straightforward as it'll ever be, and then play your games in Dublin.
Nathan also spoke to FAI CEO David Carell about the Euro 2028 situation.
Euro 2028, there's been a lot of conversation around it in recent weeks, particularly around even with Ireland and the Nations League and a relegation playoff and what it could mean long term. Northern Ireland not being in a position to hold games. Is there any update on that in terms of what their role at that tournament will be?
So we're working with our colleagues in Northern Ireland, and there is a stated ambition, as I said at the time, from the partnership, the host nations, that we would still see Northern Ireland feature in this tournament. It's really important to us and to UEFA, who recognise that, and therefore we're in conversations with them about what shape and form that might take. Could they host training venues, or could they host an event or something of that nature? And only in time we'll be able to expand on that.
And a large part of that conversation around the Nations League has been based on what happens if Ireland weren't to qualify automatically and place has been held back for host nations. Will Northern Ireland be in the mix for one of those places if they aren't hosting games?
Traditionally, a country that's not hosting fixtures would not be considered for automatic qualification slots. So we're in conversations with UEFA about what that automatic qualification scenario will look like. But as said, you know, I am confident that we will feature in this tournament, most likely on merit, but if not, we have a very increased likelihood of qualification through the benefit of host status.
Okay, so your expectation is it won't be five countries going for those spots, it will now be four?
Those conversations are ongoing with UEFA, but yes, that is a logic that would likely be applied.
Evan Ferguson could leave Brighton on loan in January, having recovered from an ankle injury. The Ireland striker has just started once for the Seagulls in the Premier League this season. Ferguson's managed just a total of 105 minutes in the top flight, but did score in last month's 2-2 draw at Wolves. The 20-year-old still has 5 years left on his Brighton contract, and the Telegraph reported last night any loan is likely to be with another Premier League side. Two clubs mentioned have been Fulham and Leicester. Ireland continue preparations ahead of Friday night's Euro 2025 playoff first leg away to Wales. Midfielder Tyler Tolan says it's important to take a positive result back to the Aviva for the second leg next Tuesday. Tolan wasn't involved the last time Ireland qualified for a major tournament. She wants to put that right this week. Bohemians manager Alan Reynolds says new signing John Mountney will be one of the players expected to set standards at the club next season. The versatile 31-year-old arrives from Dundalk, where he made more than 340 appearances across two spells. The first of those spells was hugely successful, helping the Lilywhites win 5 league titles and 3 FAI Cups. Mountney is the third signing for Bohs in the close season, following the arrivals of Colin Whelan and Niall Morahan. The move also reunites Mountney with Stephen O'Donnell, having played with and under him at Dundalk and signing for him at St Pat's in 2021. Former Ireland striker Stephen Elliott has struck out on his own as a manager for the first time. He's taken over from James Keddy at First Division club Wexford. Elliott has most recently been head of academy football at St Pat's, taking charge of their under 20 team as well. He's also worked at the academies of both Darlington and Fleetwood Town. Elliott spoken of the need to harness the power of youth products at Wexford. Meanwhile, Colin Fortune has continued his long-running affair with Athlone Town. He's been appointed as Kieran Kilduff's successor as the Women's Premier Division Champions manager. Fortune's previously been a player, caretaker manager, assistant and outright manager with the Athlone men's team. And Premier League referee David Coote says he strongly refutes the false and defamatory allegations that he's at the centre of a betting probe after discussing booking a player before a game. It relates to claims in the Sun newspaper over a caution received by Leeds player Ezgian Alioski in 2019. Coote's post-match message to a friend read, "I hope you backed as discussed." It also states Coote accepts a discussion took place, but he claims it was only banter and nothing improper took place. In a statement, he said, "I strongly refute these false and defamatory allegations. Whatever issues I may have had in my personal life, they have never affected my decision-making on the field. I've always held the integrity of the game in the highest regard, refereeing matches impartially and to the best of my ability." Coote is currently being investigated after a video emerged of him appearing to make derogatory comments about the former Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp. There's also separate footage allegedly showing him snorting a white powder.